All right, and that's Facebook Live Audio and Podcast Audio, both going. Phoenix Kaleeder hosting the program. William J. Blackass Motherfucker, co-host, engineering the program. But we have to do stuff and or things to get the Martha Fracker launched. There will be whatnot, what have you, this, that, a tinge of the other. I doubt you are aware of what that means.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes, some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I want to tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev. We got our gay lesbian sisters and brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time. I think Dr. Reverend Martin Luther King said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Alright, welcome to the Wine Cellar. Woo! Hashtag Black Podcast. Did we podcast all last week? I think we did like one day, right?
Early in the week.
So, I just have this never-ending thread of stories, and then we didn't podcast because I was in a bad mood all week because we still didn't have any furniture. But we have furniture now. So, you know, it's better. It's good. Stuff things. We played the trigger warning so I can actually read all my headlines. We have a couple news stories to get to. And then I think William has a thing where he's gonna be William and hurt someone's feelings, as he tends to fucking do.
I can't afford to hurt his feelings.
Wait. Or maybe he just makes too much to afford to have feelings.
I can't even make eye contact. I just see my reflection in his monocle. Okay. Holy shit, Tally Loco found the program.
Tally!
Live. What's that say? It says, of course I can't stay for the live because work. Oh, shit.
Oh, no.
Well, don't worry. Benjamin Dixon holds you down. Or does he?
I'm going to get so many fucking angry tweets. I don't give a fuck. I can see the angry tweets coming. I don't care. Which is funny because they're not actually going to be from him, which makes it all the more whatever. Alright, so, just some fun headlines.
Or does he?
I'm gonna get so many fucking angry tweets. I don't give a fuck. I can see the angry
Facebook. Shit.
Ah, the joys of having a live show. Yes? So, hashtag good cops. A Miami cop viciously kicked a woman in the stomach who happened to be 8 months pregnant. Just, aside from the fact that we constantly cover stuff like this, hashtag good cops, I just want to point out in this particular story, she was kicked by a female officer. So when we say all cops, we mean all cops, not just the white male ones, all of them. So yeah, going around kicking pregnant women in the stomach, because that's what they do. House Dems are trying to get inclusive with the populace and are attempting to introduce a bill that requires states to have 2 years of debt-free college. What?
What's that again? I'm trying to get... Wait, what?
Nancy Pelosi and so I think some other niggas from California, Susan Davis, are trying to create a bill that will require states to have 2 years of debt-free college.
Wait, debt-free? That doesn't mean tuition-free.
No, it does not mean tuition-free. It means debt-free.
Yeah, see, that's why I had to hear it again. I was like, something slick is happening.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
See, and that's what it's like, folks. I'm not special. I'm not smart. You saw how long it took me to get that?
Yes.
It takes me a minute.
We want a world where parents don't have to choose between college or their kids paying rent, where borrowers do not have a lifetime of debt because of college degree, where race, gender, and socioeconomic status do not determine professional success. So, they made a bill that doesn't really make any sense.
But won't you still you have to pay for books?
Yeah, maybe. It's just really giving out more grants and scholarships and shit. It's not, like, free college, or it's not, like, tuition-free college. It's, yeah.
Grants and scholarships to who?
People.
Kids who had nice enough households that they could focus and get great grades?
I said people, nigga. It's for people.
All people matter. Fuck it.
All people matter, yes.
No child left behind. Race to the top. Gotta catapult the propaganda.
Quote, it increases investments in financial aid and makes the majority of Pell Grant funding mandatory and creates new incentives that will offer states to offer 2 years of tuition-free community college. Now, peep that. The headline says debt-free. Here they're saying we're trying to give them an incentive to create, which means it's still going to be up to your state to determine how, where, when, and they use this federal money should this shit pass. So it's still not a guarantee tuition-free. It's
Vermont
more grants.
Is the most likely for some reason.
Probably because they have extra money because they have so many black people in prison. Like, tens of thousands of black people are in prison in Vermont.
I'm in prison in Vermont.
I'm in prison in Vermont, too. It's amazing. All right, so that's happening. I think it's going to be a shitty bill. It's probably not going to pass anyway. If you missed it, somebody vandalized one of Betsy DeVos's multiple yachts. It was a $40 million yacht. That's just funny to me. I mean, she's not really out anything, but it's still funny to me.
No, that was just, that was abstract upholstery.
Abstract upholstery.
Yeah, fact.
Long live the arts. Another LGBTQ murder happened in Jacksonville, which is creating a, quote, disturbing pattern. Jessie Sumler, age 30, is the latest victim of homicide in Jacksonville. According to the Jacksonville Sheriff, she was found dead July 19th, the same day trans Orlando resident Sasha Garden was gunned down 2 hours away. These two killings come on the heels of three murders in Jacksonville this year of trans women, and another identified trans woman survived a shooting earlier this year. So there's rumors that there might be a serial killer targeting trans women in that area, Orlando, Jacksonville type of area. I haven't heard official confirmation from like authorities or police, but it's definitely maybe something to think about. If we get more details about it, obviously we'll share them with y'all. But yeah, there seems to be a lot of trans violence happening in that specific little pocket of the country right now. Yeah.
And it, yeah, and what, it's been along one strip of highway?
Well, it's a few different places, but it's in with like a 30-mile radius.
Okay, so it's not like one line.
Right, yeah, it's not like one line.
It's a spread.
Yes, yes. But out of 57 murders this year in Jacksonville, 5 of them have been trans people. Yeah.
That's a high percentage.
9%.
Yeah, like, considering that there's a lot of fucking people.
Yeah.
Like, you could be killing any fucking body. Like, I could step out. I mean, to the extent that we know who's trans, you could step out and just start killing and not hit somebody trans. Just go busting blindfolded.
Yeah. Which, actually, they note here that there have been 57 murders in Jacksonville. 5 have been trans or gender nonconforming people, making them nearly 9% of the city's homicide rate. They also noted Chicago has 290 murders so far this year, but no trans people were reported murdered. And similarly, Baltimore had 159 homicides this year, and no trans people were reported. New Orleans has not reported any trans people being murdered this year. But somehow, fucking Jacksonville, Orlando area, there's some shit going on.
While we keep the, they say none reported, but we keep the misgendering variable alive.
Of course, of course. So, yeah. that's going on there. So be careful in general, but particularly if you're in that corner of the world. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, we're going to get into that whole story about Canada. Oh, GOP Representative Jason Lewis, he had a little, like, meltdown, I guess, when he was a, he used to be a shock jock, I believe they call them. He had a temper tantrum, I guess, and said that people who get welfare or government assistance are parasites and scoundrels, and black people have traded one plantation for another. He also was sad that he's not allowed to call women sluts anymore in this day and age. He said that the 1964 Civil Rights Act was unconstitutional and said the Americans with Disability Act was one of the worst laws ever and suggested it causes workplace shootings. And religious...
Wow.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
Somebody's just fucking jealous of that wheelchair. They're just like, oh, look at Mr. fucking Fancy.
No,
one
man.
Of those chrome spokes? Yo, fuck you, and shoot up the fucking word. That, mm-hmm. Is that what's happening?
That's actually what's happening.
Is that what's happening?
Yes.
Now, those new tennis balls on that walker. And what the fuck is wrong with these people?
And then he also said that religious freedom laws don't go far enough in allowing people to be discriminated against. I don't know, man.
That's so weird.
I know.
Like, I hate people, but I don't want to. I don't like it. Like, these people, like, they want to hate people. And it's like, so it's like, you want to be mad. Is that how you keep your heart rate up?
Who fucking knows, man?
Because they live for a while.
They do live for a while. Yeah, so he's apparently a representative in Minnesota's 2nd District.
In Minnesota. Oh, Jesus Christ. So his neighbor is Keith Ellison.
Yeah. And Paul Ryan said that he doesn't support Lewis's comments, but said Lewis is different as a lawmaker than he was when he was a shock jock, so he will not call on him to apologize.
I don't want him to apologize either. Why stand up there and pretend you... I'm sorry.
Yeah, I don't want him to apologize. I want him to go away.
And also, apologize to who? Me, who's not your constituent and my vote doesn't matter in your district? It doesn't fucking matter. Fuck your apology. That doesn't exist anyway.
Yeah, so yeah, I just want them to go away and stop being involved in the political process, actually. Don't apologize, just leave. Let's see, what else do we have? Oh, trans women are saying that the State Department is revoking their passports. That's a thing. Right?
Now yous can't leave.
Now yous can't leave. This starts with some tweets from Danny Eskini? Eskini? I don't know how to say her last name. Eskini?
Oh yeah, Eskini.
Eskini.
Yeah.
Alright. So she transitioned in 1998, and since the age of 16, all her identifying documents have noted that she is female, but last month when she went to renew her passport, she was denied, and the U.S. Passport Office told her she had, quote, failed to disclose that she was trans and needed to provide proof of transition. 20 years of already having a passport saying she was female, and they're like, you didn't tell us you were trans.
Wait, proof of transition? Nigga, look at me.
I know, right? I know. I know. But she already, that's the thing, she had a fucking passport that said female on it, and they're like, you didn't tell us. Yeah, you got it in this office from this government administration, but you didn't fucking tell us she was trans. Like, okay.
And there's Ivanka Loco Sims that said in the archive chat space, RyanSellerMedia.com or the Facebooks, said the world would be a much better place if Paul Ryan and his cronies were kicked to the curb by the people.
Yes.
Or curb stomped by the people. Whichever one. I may have misread that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then another trans person named Janice Rose said the same thing happened. The U.S. passport said there was an error and the government had retroactively invalidated my change of gender on my passport and revoked it. What the fuck? So, I mean, I guess if you're trans, check your fucking documents. I don't know what the fuck is going on with this, but, I mean, I guess it's just basic transphobia, but it doesn't even make sense to me of, like, why they would do that.
I think sociologically in the macrocosm, and folks, I ain't Isby got no fancy degree, all right? I take wrenches to work, and my boots look how they look after only owning them for 2 weeks, all right? I'm not one of the fancy people. But just looking at the macrocosm sociologically, I bet there's a bunch of people in positions of trust and power that they can abuse, and I bet you these previously homophobic people didn't even know trans folk existed until they got a Twitter or Facebook account and then saw their favorite right-wing thing say, these motherfuckers are trying to get in the bathroom at Target, and now they're being assholes to anybody they assume is so.
But it's like, okay, but if you thought trans people were like these scary sexual predators, wouldn't you want them to have a passport so they can get the fuck out of your country?
Can't wait to deport people, like, but no, you that I hate, you keep your motherfucking ass here.
Like, I don't know, it doesn't make sense to me, because I would think, because I assume, like, yeah, you're doing it to fuck with trans people because you're transphobic, but, like, if you're transphobic, why wouldn't you want trans people to be able to leave the country that you're in with them, where you hate them? I don't know what's happening.
Because, again, they want to hate, and out of sight, out of mind, that's one less thing to hate, can't keep their heart rate up. And then they die too soon, and they don't get to see the next fucking Ronald Reagan Part 3, whichever one is comes after Trump. Who's it gonna be? Justin Bieber? Who's gonna be the one? Who's gonna be Reagan 3?
Reagan 3? Kanye.
Oh, that's good call, good call. That might be an I told you so in the future.
So, alright, so that's my headlines. To get into actual stories, I think we're going to do... What are we going to do? We're going to do...
Yeah, bring one of your hot ones, and then we'll take a break. And take a break, and we'll listen to Nina Turner on the CNN flexing.
I'm going to talk about this serial killer case.
Serial killer?
Yes. So a man has been arrested in connection to a bi-coastal crime spree that involved murder, rape, and holding a woman captive using dating websites to connect with alleged victims, say police. I don't know how to say this dude's name. I've heard it pronounced Daniel. I've heard it pronounced Danuel. I've heard it pronounced Danwall.
My guess is Danwell.
Danwell.
But I work in a place where a lot of my coworkers, that might be how it's pronounced.
So I'm just going to spell it D-A-N-U-E-A-L. Danuel Drayton of New Haven, Connecticut, was wanted in connection with the killing of a woman in Queens, New York, according to New York Police Department Chief of Detectives Dermot Shea, and was eventually linked to a rape that occurred weeks earlier in Brooklyn. He was arrested this week in California, where authorities accused him of sexually assaulting and attempting to kill another woman he was holding against her will after they went out on a date, according to the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office. The, quote, common denominator in the murder and rape in cases in New York is dating websites, said Shea at a press conference. This individual is known by us and is believed that... It is believed that this individual uses dating websites to meet women and victimizes women. Nigga, can you say the fucking website, though? Like, yeah. What's the fucking website? Damn. All right.
Well, fine, then, all of them.
Stop using dating websites. I don't know. They said it wasn't immediately clear what websites he was using. It is clear. The police just didn't tell you, because if they knew he was doing it, they know what fucking platform it was, and maybe the rest of us would like to fucking know, too. Damn. All right. Investigators in New York have asked any other possible victims to come forward to share information. Drayton said that Drayton came to the NYPD's attention while investigating the murder of 29-year-old Samantha Stewart in Queens after her body was discovered July 17th. As that investigation went forward, it came together with a separate uninvolved incident from the 78th Precinct in Brooklyn from a rape case. In both cases, the suspect was Drayton, who was then tracked across the country, according to police. Authorities say when they located Drayton, they discovered another alleged victim, a 28-year-old woman, being held captive. According to a news release from the Los Angeles County District Attorney, Drayton strangled and assaulted the woman July 22nd and 23rd after he refused to let her leave her apartment following a date. It is dangerous to be in relationships with men.
And in the archive chat space, winecellarmedia.com, on the Facebooks, there was Jay May posted up saying it's so creepy. He was somewhat attractive and seems to be normal.
Yep.
Fucking creep. Fallon Matthew of FallonKitty.com said, and folks are mostly victim blaming the women about this.
Mm-hmm.
When Jay Loco, now they're talking to each other. It's fun.
Come get in the wine cellar.
He's just fucking around, start. And then there's that nigga Mason. Is that Louisa Lewis? How am I pronouncing that? Let me know. is in the archive chat space and said, was just talking about the passport revocations not too long ago. Oh, I think I'm missing some words. The State Department are going after those who are speaking out against the government. Oh, they're targeting people.
Okay.
See? More information. Come get in the winecellar.com on the Facebook's archive chat space. Get this information and share what you have, Father Muckers.
And yeah, I think it was Fallon said people were blaming the victim. That's how I actually found out about this case, is because a bunch of ignorant ass people were making tweets saying stuff like, this is what happens when you go on dates with men before doing like background checks, or like, this is what happens when someone made some fucking tweets or some shit like, this is what happens when you refuse to date an ugly nigger.
Wait.
Like some shit like, you should expect to be brutalized by, you know, like a top pick guy because he's attractive and, you know, desirable. So that means something's wrong with them. You should, like, lower your standards and just date an ugly nigga because they won't hurt you. Which, I don't even know what the fuck kind of sense that's supposed to make.
Wait, so among white people in whiteness, Ted Bundy was an ugly-ass dude, huh? Ted Bundy looked like fucking, Steve Buscemi? Is that what's happening? Is that what's happening? And then also, they're saying... This is what was the first one you said you heard?
This is what happens when you don't do enough, like extensive background checks on niggas.
Oh, yeah, like you didn't do on me. Like, really? Is everyone doing that? Like, who the fuck is... No one thinks before thoughts leave their head.
Don't, because, I mean, that's the thing. Like, there's a difference between, like, okay, I scrolled their, you know, social media profiles or whatever, but, like, that doesn't tell you if somebody's a fucking serial killer or, like, a rapist or whatever. Like, so many fucking people look like normal people, and they're horrible, horrible people. Shit, how many cops are wife beaters?
NFL players.
Shit.
Jesus Christ, like, how many smiling white women in their mid-20s do you look at and think, wow, she's gonna send little Devontae to prison? Like, people don't advertise the horrible shit they're gonna do because it's socially unacceptable in this fake-ass... post so-called enlightenment bullshit, which is just Europeans handing swords back and forth and playing imperialism games.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it.
Yeah. So yeah, people just being ignorant as shit. All right. So he refused to let her leave the house after a date. And Samantha Stewart, the first victim's father, told CNN, right after he committed a gruesome murder here and destroyed my family, he went to California just to almost do the same thing. Yeah, this is fucking wild. So, of course, what's interesting here is, as far as I know, all the victims involved are black, and the suspect is black. So, unfortunate. But
Fallon Loco said something that I need to is be finding. Said Ted Bundy has a cult of a cult following of white woman lady feminists as well, and they. They stand him during the trial. And some folks may not know, because this song is from 2000. When someone says stanning, that's based off of an old Eminem record about a fan named Stan. All right, so like, so they're Stan. Jesus Christ.
Which is, I remember reading about that during his trial. His fiance testified on his behalf during his trial. Like, he was literally on trial for raping and murdering women. And his fiance's like, but he's the sweetest man I ever seen. Like, fucking got on the stand and fucking defended his ass.
And so also, if she was alive to be on the stand, she didn't get murdered by this man that she didn't pre-screen.
Correct. Well, you know.
My goodness.
See, I wish I had that fucking Tyra Banks clip. Because you remember she used to have that, like, TV show? Like, it was like a morning... I know, she had a show. But it was like one of the segments they had was, like, about women and dating and, like, trying to keep women safe. And this chick is like, I never do any kind of any background check at all. Like, I don't check anything because I can just look at someone and, like, know if they're dangerous. And I was like, that's not a... Like, you should at least look at their social media or whatever, you know. But she's like, I can just look at someone and tell if they're dangerous. And they were like, hey, and they gave her, like pictures of, I don't know, maybe, like, 10 or 20 dudes. And they were like, can you pick out the serial killers? And she's like, I think this one, this one, this one, and this one. She's like, I can just really tell. And then just, Tyra Banks is like, joke's on you. Everyone in this picture is a killer. I was like, ah! But, yeah, I wish I could find that clip.
Yeah, folks, like, Fallon Matthew is a sociologist. Not the rest of you fuckers. All right. Go to FallonKitty.com and fucking learn you something, goddammit.
Learn you something.
All right. Was that all?
Oh, yeah, that was pretty much it. Just a story to follow. In particular, it's kind of popping, and I think that's only because this is like a serial killer story, and America loves serial killers. But I think otherwise, the fact that his victims were black, it would not be as relevant if it didn't have that spin to it, which makes me sad.
You said it would, you think, wait, are you saying it would be more relevant if these was white woman ladies?
Oh, if they were white women, it would absolutely be more relevant. It's only relevant that they're black because he's a serial killer and serial killer sells as a headline.
And there's probably some white people out there just excited that there's a fucking nigger out there killing folk. Look at that there. We told you. We told you.
Very dangerous people.
We told you the killer niggers were out there.
Killer niggers.
And they're going to get you. All right, so trying to bring back the old deal where I fucking play the breaks on the program, you know, and then that also gives us a chance to quite literally take a break. I'd like to sip a water, and and you get to hear something that I heard that I thought was dope. This is Nina Turner on the CNN. I might get the full clip later, but they were talking about race and class, and mm-hmm. Nina Turner disagreed. All right,
Oh, she said something racist. Did she?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to check with Imani Gandhi first. Make sure it was racist.
William Jackson calls me the N-word in front of my mother.
That's right. That's weird.
I creep under the shadow, the foggiest mist, and leap up into battle. The plot is intense. I leave a nigga rattled, it's hostile and tense. So please don't be baffled at how I mob up in this. Now I present masculine, it's he when y'all see him. A man, but don't confuse me with Paul either.
They call themselves Mick Jackson.
Right. What I'm saying is that we have become numb to some of the very real challenges in this country that are being exacerbated by this president. But he didn't invent racism. I'll be the first one to say that. But to have people who are not black and brown to be cavalier around this panel, I am highly offended.
Okay, well,
I am just highly offended by this.
All I'm asking is that we don't make it only that. The United States of America
not
is not
about, it's not just
only
about
that
only that.
Only
but that is part of it.
That was all I wanted.
Was this country, did this country enslave Africans?
I conceded
did this country
your
take away the land of the Native Americans?
I conceded
did this
point
country
long ago
have
on.
Jim Crow and black codes? That's not in my imagination.
No, it's
not. And still, there are articles that are being written right now that still says that it'll take about 228 years for the average African-American to catch up with the wealth of the average white person but in this country. And we all have to care about it. So it is race and it is class.
But to say that the country, our country,
the country
America,
was founded
America
on racism and bigotry, David,
but
and
but
it
to
does.
Say that America specializes.
Black men are being shot.
It's not,
by, oh, my
you
Lord.
You shouldn't say it specializes. I don't think
it specializes in it.
Dope. I'm going to use that in my vocabulary now. I'm going to go around to people and be like, you're so dope.
Man, Lisa Loco was getting out there with StarMetalGames.com. All right, several games, the Blacksmith. And these are downloadable video games for your smart device, Apple or Android. StarMetalGames.com with Lisa Loco. Fully launching December 2018.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
So, I was getting coffee, minding my own business, and a guy grabs my arm.
Really? What kind of guy?
A tall, serious black man. Bald.
Bald, like in a very sexy way?
Yes. You know him?
No, just painting a picture. I can...
The news is a shit show these days, and we're here to give you a break from the white supremacist media bullshit by bringing you the shitty news so that you can feel less like shit because you know the people discussing all the fucked up shit give a shit about you and the shitty situations you deal with every day. So shit. Pour yourself a glass and settle in for Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
The
over traffic on a road built by the state. A libertarian with Uncle Sam's license plate. You're not carving a new path, you walk on a tracked line. You go with the green light and stop at the red sign. Rugged individual is what they claim as they seize. Spaghetti arm, soft skin, Gamergate dweeb. Internet neocon 4chan trolls. Delete and block on the spot is where your spam goes. Y'all can't straw man or your dishonest shows, but we'll troll your right back by making comments closed. Black Petty Jack, I do it straight out of spite, cause I like to see you whine about how they're taking our rights. SJWs, delete what I speak. Political correctness is keeping us weak. They wanna take my fun and my freedom of speech. Ain't nobody trying to hurt you, little legion of geeks. We got issues to cover. Black bodies in the street.
Right. WineCellarMedia.com, PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. This is William J. Black Ass Motherfucker, a.k.a. Dark Skin Nigglesworth, and Phoenix Kaleeder. Follow on the Twitters, Uppity Negress, on the Twitters, at Uppity Negress. Two P's, two T's, two S's, on the Twitters. All right, what in the holy heck darn else is going on there, Chief?
What's going on is my shit is not loading, and that's like a situation.
I think your shit is supposed to unload, not load.
Wow, really?
That's right. Unless if you think your shit is supposed to load as opposed to unload, explain why.
Because reasons, and because I said so. I run the machines, that's why.
I run the machines, goddamn.
By the way, thank you, Rachel, in the chat room. Found the clip I was talking about. Fuck yes. That's awesome. All right. So, news stories. What do we want to do? Do you want to do...
Man,
police?
You had them
Bernie.
Picked out.
I do have them picked out. I just don't have an order.
What, them police?
Because I was going to save the Bernie one, but then we just talked about Nina Turner, so it seems like appropriate, right, to follow that up with Bernie?
Oh, fuck.
Like, you know what I mean?
Burn it down. Shit.
But, really?
Yes, ma'am.
Wow.
Burn it down. Indeed.
Okay. So Bernie Sanders is, like, doing racist stuff. Again. That's the soundbite. Bernie Sanders has introduced a bill to end money bail. What? So last Wednesday, July 25th, Senator Bernie Sanders, independent from Vermont, introduced legislation Wednesday to end money bail, which would prevent people from being locked up before trial solely because they cannot afford bail. Representative Ted Lieu, I think that's how he says his name, Democrat, California. I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't know how to say his name because I've actually been in his office. Has introduced a companion bill in the House. The United States government has the highest incarceration rate in the world, and nearly a quarter of all people imprisoned on any given day who are disparate. You know what? I like this. Bernie has Black, Latinx, and Native American in the wording of his bill. This is on the Sanders.Senate.gov website.
No, Bernie's... No. He's the same as Trump.
Well, they're both elder.
Yeah, but you know his old ass didn't think of that. That just means he has some young homies on his shit.
Oh, yeah.
Helping with his shit. Staffers. Staffers that you talk to.
Yes.
Hmm.
Very nice people. All right. So, they are disproportionately Black, Latinx, and Native American are unconvicted, meaning they're sitting in jail waiting for a trial, plea bargain, or a conclusion to their case. Hundreds of thousands of these unconvicted people are in jail simply because they could not afford bail. In introducing the bill, Sanders said, "Poverty is not a crime." All right. And hundreds of thousands of Americans convicted of nothing should not be in jail today because they cannot afford cash bail. In the year 2018, in the United States, we should not continue having a debtor prison system. Our destructive and unjust cash bail process is part of our broken criminal justice system and must be ended.
Yep.
Bernie's racist, yo.
I think that was yelled, not dictated.
It was yelled.
Yeah, he just fucking... He found out that voice-to-text existed and broke his fucking phone.
Let me be clear. Poverty is not a crime.
No, you're not clear. You fucking... You pop the fucking foam out the microphone, you fucker. It's not clear anymore. You loud ass. Nigga does not have an indoor voice.
He does not have an indoor voice, man. He's like, fuck, I'm just old enough. I don't have to have an indoor voice. This isn't fucking kindergarten. Fuck that shit.
Yeah.
he continues. The money bail system is irrational and dangerous. People who are not at high risk but are poor remain incarcerated, while people who may be dangerous are set free if they have the funds. It's maddening to see that with money, people can buy their freedom while poor defendants languish behind bars while awaiting trial. Oh, that was a quote from Lou. I'm grateful Senator Sanders is introducing a bill that moves to end our justice system's reliance on money bail. I previously introduced legislation in the House that addresses the issue and look forward to working with Senator Sanders on this. The money bail system warrants sustained outrage because America should never be a nation where freedom is based on cash on hand. Sanders' bill, the No Money Bail Act of 2018, it's a very fucking straightforward name, isn't it?
It's a lot different than pro-life.
It's a lot different. No Money Bail Act, all right, would formally end the use of secured bonds in federal proceedings, provide grants to states that wish to implement alternate pretrial systems to reduce their pretrial detention population, and withholds grant funding from states who continue to use money bail systems. It would also require a study 3 years after implementation to ensure the new alternate systems are not leading to disparate detention rates. The U.S. spends nearly $14 billion each year locking people up without a conviction. Cities and states could save substantial amounts of money by ending cash bail systems. It costs $75 a day to detain someone, but only $7 to supervise them within the community. Additionally, for-profit companies make a fortune off poor defendants. The pro-profit bail industry makes well over $1 billion each year, and the United States is only one of two countries in the world that even allows for-profit bond companies. A fucking course we are, because we're a goddamn corporation. Sanders' legislation is supported by the ACLU, who is obviously racist, and the Brennan Center and Color of Change. Obviously fucking racist, don't let them fool you, the color's in the name. Money bail punishes people for being poor, says Priva Raghavan, counsel in the Brennan Center's justice program. It's a system that entrenches inequality and encourages unnecessary incarceration. The legislation induced by Senator Sanders is an important step towards eliminating wealth-based systems of pretrial detention and an approach that we call for in our recent criminal justice agenda.
And anybody that hates populism like Bernie Sanders populism, who's not white, get away from non-white people that were making over $50,000 a year in their 20s. They don't have your best int in mind. That's a bad echo chamber. Now, I'm not going to front. It's functionally, as far as like the privately owned social networks go, I'm in an echo chamber. Yeah. You know, that might be part of why when I seek my media, I seek shit I disagree with, you know, to get that fucking, that tension that I can fucking take and bring to this program.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Get away from them class privileged niggas.
Yeah.
Like, they don't give a fuck about you when they talk that bullshit. Like, and something else, like, heads like us, we knew, and I know this sounds condescending as shit, we knew Sanders existed years before this. Like, when he threw his hat in the ring, we were like, get the fuck out of here. Really? Okay. I think that was actually even a joke on the Napoleon Dynamite or some shit like that.
Oh, I don't know.
Yeah, like some old comedy movie. Like somebody was like, "Like, who do you want to see run for class president or some shit like that?"
Bernie Sanders.
Bernie Sanders. And that shit, that was like fucking like 2008-7.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, just, I'm like glancing at some of the stuff they have in the legislation here. Study after study has shown the average American cannot come up with $400 in an emergency, and people in prison tend to start out poorer than most other Americans, with average earnings of less than $20,000 annually prior to incarceration. If you're making that little, chances are you do not have $1,000 set aside in case of emergency, including a bail emergency. Pretrial detention is bad for society because these people are being held, are missing days of work, and missing time with families, and oftentimes they run the risk of missing rent payments or losing their housing. Studies have shown people are more likely to take a plea bargain just to end pretrial detention. For example, in the city of New Orleans, they collected $4.5 million in bails, fines, and fees, but spent $6.4 million detaining people who couldn't afford to make bail in 2015. The for-profit bail industry makes between $1.4 and $2.4 billion each year. It's clear we have separate criminal justice systems for the poor and the rich. Yeah. So the No Money Bail Act does the following. One, formally ends use of secured bonds in federal criminal proceedings. Two, provides grants to states that wish to implement alternate pretrial systems and reduce their pretrial detention population. Three, withhold grants funding from states that continue to use money bail. Check me out.
Oh, okay.
I'm really good at words. I'm amazing. And of course requires a study to ensure the new systems are being held up properly. So now you kept hearing me say, that's because Bernie's racist, you guys. That's because apparently my favorite segment of Twitter, I like to call them donut Twitter myself, or centrist Twitter, generic Democrat Twitter, neoliberal Twitter, whatever you want to call them. They are fucking pissed about this and trying to convince me that this is racist because white people might get benefits too.
Yeah. That makes it racist.
I mean, like
if black people get the same thing white people get, that's fucking racism.
It's fucking racism.
Remember, separate but equal?
Separate but equal.
Okay, racist.
Uh-huh.
You don't understand, do you?
Mm-mm.
Like,
I do not.
When white people were serfs and then black people were bought in as slaves, that was racist.
Yes, it was racist for black people.
And for black people. It was also racist. Now, somebody might not get the satire here. I'm not trying to make sense because they're not trying to make sense. That's the deal. They're not trying to make sense. They just want to say the few key words. Like, the key words are... And it's also to conjoin words together.
Right.
Like, Bernie Sanders always needs to be next to the words misogynist and racist.
Right.
Those three words always have to be near each other. They don't have to make any sense.
They don't have to
it could
sense.
Be... The misogynist sandwich was on Bernie Sanders' racist boxcar. as long as those words are near each other, that's all these folks are trying to do.
Yes. So, yeah, because apparently, so he's racist because this is going to help white people. But then, of course, these are the same people who are trying to convince me that free college is racist because it's going to also help white people. And I'm like, I don't know if y'all fucking know about food stamps, but by your logic, we should eliminate food stamps because... they also help white people. I think we should maybe keep that, just in general. I also think that, you know, cash bail is kind of a shitty thing, and it's absolutely racist and disproportionately affects poor people and all those things. And then, of course, they're like, but Kamala Harris already proposed this. He's biting her style. They didn't actually say biting her style.
Wait, Kamala Harris, did you look up what she proposed?
Yes, I did.
Oh, shit. All right, Kamala. See, because Kamala Harris is almost black, so whatever she did... It's not racist.
It's not racist.
She's Merkel-ish, right?
Yeah.
Wait, what's her name? Like, wait, did I say Merkel? That's like the Germany chancellor. Who's the motherfucker with the
Merkel.
Prince? Merkel.
Kamala Harris looks like she's like light-skinned black and like part Indian. So she's just sort of like ambiguously whatever.
Naturally tanned Becky?
Kinda, yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I mean, the fact that like her behavior doesn't help. Like she's always like doing that corny shit. Like, it doesn't... Like, she was doing the fucking, like, the Wakanda salute and shit, but her husband's white, and I'm like, I can't, like...
Oh, so you're with the CIA agent.
You're with the colonizer doing the Black Panther salute. I'm like, it's not working, sweetie. Yeah. Stop it.
Tacky.
So Kamala Harris worked with, of all people, Rand Paul to reform bail last year.
All right, this is already the least racist thing ever.
And they wrote an op-ed in the New York Times about it.
My bad. Jumping in on it. Because Rand Paul is the fake libertarian we all love.
Yes.
And Donald Trump was loved by fake libertarians that like the fake libertarian we all love.
Yes.
And when Bernie Sanders said, if Donald Trump has some dope shit, I'll work with him on it. That was horrible.
It was horrible.
It was very bad.
Yes.
It was like he was burning a cross.
Yes.
On Michael Clark Duncan's grave.
That's exactly what happened.
Because you know Bernie Sanders is a Nazi.
He is a Nazi.
That's what
he's
all
a Jewish
Jews,
Nazi like George Soros.
Or like Israel. But now Kamala Harris working with Rand Paul. Not even saying I would if he had some dope shit, but actually did it.
Yeah, like they wrote a bill.
This almost black woman, and this, ma'am, you like how I word things.
I'm just being entertained.
Got a lot of style.
I'm just being entertained.
So, yeah, almost black woman and Rand Paul's hair came together.
Yes.
And did what you are about to describe,
yes.
Which is awesome.
Yes.
Let's go.
So they start off talking about Kalief Browder, of course, who's probably the most infamous case. Right. So it was a charged of stealing a backpack, and then ended up spending 3 years in Rikers because he couldn't afford bail. And then, of course, committed suicide. I think we all know that at this point.
And that was, like, after, like, when he was on the streets.
Yeah, like, after he got out because he just couldn't, like, fuck. Because he spent, like, out of the 3 years he was in prison, I think he spent, like, almost 2 years of it in solitary confinement.
And Rikers is nicknamed fucking Gladiator School.
Yeah, so it was, yeah. So then they continue. By the way, they wrote this op-ed together. Like, both of their names are on it. Our justice system is designed with a promise to treat people equally, yet that doesn't happen for the 450,000 Americans who sit in jail today awaiting trial because they can't afford bail. All right, I'm here for you. I'm here for you. It can being when someone stays in jail it or not is too far off and determined by wealth or social connections, even though just a few days behind bars can cost people their job, home, custody of their children, or their life. Okay, good. Great. So as criminal justice groups work to change sentencing and mandatory minimum laws, we also must reform a bail system. All right. So excessive bail disproportionately harms people from low-income communities and communities of color. Yep. Black and Latino defendants are more likely to be detained before trial and less likely to be able to post bail according in comparison to white defendants.
Okay. So far, they're like Megyn Kelly reading stats.
Right, yeah. Like, there's a lot of numbers in here. And I mean, like, straight up, like, 9 out of 10 defendants who are detained cannot afford bail, with which can exceed $20,000 for even minor crimes like stealing $100 worth of clothing. Meanwhile, black and Latino defendants are more likely to be detained, and black and Latino men respectively pay 35% more than 19%. That's a fucking weird sentence. Black men pay 35% more and Latino men pay 19% more in bail than white men, is what it actually meant to
35%, say. 35%? That's only 15 from 50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This isn't just unjust, it also wastes taxpayer money. People awaiting trial account for 95% of growth and from the jail population, and it costs $38 million every day to imprison these largely nonviolent... we're still going.
Just like, more stats.
We haven't gotten to the actual bill yet. This is their op-ed. This was their selling it to the public story, by the way.
Yeah. Hey, here's a bunch of shit that you probably saw on a blog.
Bail is supposed to ensure accused appear at trial or don't commit other offenses, but research has shown low-risk defendants who are detained for more than 24 hours and then released are actually less likely to show up in court than those who are detained for less than a day. It's especially troubling our bail system does not keep us safer. In a study of two large jurisdictions, which were not named, I don't know what fucking jurisdictions they were, and I would like to know so I could find the goddamn study.
And who the fuck conducted the study? What is their probable bias? Tell me something.
Nearly half of all defendants considered high risk, and high risk is in quotes, which bothers me. Like, were they not really high risk? Or, like...
They were high and playing risk.
Nigga. So, according to two jurisdictions that are unnamed... Half of the defendants that are quote-unquote high risk were released simply because they could afford to post bail. Our system is broken and it's time to fix it. The last paragraph of the article.
Yes.
That's why we're introducing the Pretrial Integrity and Safety Act to encourage states to reform or replace the bail system.
Pretrial Integrity and Safety Act.
Yes.
What was the name of Bernie's bill?
End Cash Bail 2018.
And then this one's called...
Pre-trial Integrity and Safety Act.
Fuck it. Whatever. All right.
Yes.
Let's go.
To encourage states to reform or replace the bail system, this should not be a partisan issue. First, our legislation empowers states to build on best practices. Kentucky and New Jersey, for instance, have shifted from bail towards personalized risk assessments that analyze factors such as criminal history and substance abuse. These are better indicators of whether a defendant is a flight risk or a threat to the public and ought to be held without bail. Colorado and West Virginia have improved pretrial services and supervision, such as using telephone reminders so fewer defendants miss court dates. These nudges work, because incrementalism is fucking amazing.
Nudges.
Over the second half of 2006, automated phone call reminders in Multnomah County in Oregon resulted in 750 people showing up in court who otherwise may have forgotten their date.
I'm stuck on nudges. Well, they're just stating more facts. They came over to this continent on the Nina, the Pita, and the Nudge Marina. Is that what happened?
That is exactly what happened.
Then they went to the other coast on Manifest Nudgery.
Yes.
Is that what the fuck happened?
Yes.
Nudgel slavery.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what happened?
Yes.
They had signs up in the window. Now hiring. No blacks. No nudges. No Irish.
No nudges.
Half Jew. It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
I only want four menorahs. That's all. Just four menorahs.
Four. Enabling states to institute such reforms also honors one of our nation's core documents, the Bill of Rights. In drafting the Eighth Amendment, which prevents excessive bail, the founders sought to protect people from unchecked government power in the criminal justice system. And our bill holds states accountable. Any state receiving support must report on its progress and make sure that reforms like risk assessments are not discriminatory.
They have to report.
They have to report.
They
themselves.
Make, they, yeah, they, so they make their own reports.
They have to report themselves.
I fucking did a good job. I wish I could do that. You know what? Come this time next year, I'm going to walk up to my boss and be like, so here's my review. I exceeded all my numbers by 800%. You know, like, what the fuck are we talking about?
The bill also encourages better data collection. Data on the pretrial process is notoriously sparse. By collecting information on how state and local courts handle defendants, we can help guarantee reforms that yield better outcomes. The Pretrial Justice Institute, an organization that works to change unfair pretrial practices, estimates bail reform could save taxpayers $78 billion a year. More important, it would help restore Americans' faith in our justice system. But did they say anything about what the fuck they're gonna do? That was the whole article.
They said they were gonna nudge ya.
Gonna nudge ya.
Yeah.
Watch out, they're gonna nudge ya.
That's all. Things are totally different. It's like when the Laura Winslow character got a haircut. Holy shit, everything changed.
Everything changed.
Yeah. She was like Marcy Darcy after that. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. So, they didn't really say a lot about what's going on. So then you have to go dig around and find a bunch of links. And you know, the funny thing, if you go to Kamala's Senate page, you know what happens when you click on the bill?
It says, we're sorry. Oh, shit. I fucked it up.
Hold on. Oh, where'd it go?
I funked it all the way up. So when you click on the bill, holy shit, the 404 thing on the World Wide Web nest, that's the page you requested cannot be found. The address may have been typed incorrectly, or the page may have been moved during a recent design of our site. Thank you. That's how we know we do not have internet privacy, because they saw Phoenix Kalita reading that shit and said, oh, fuck, that fucking uppity negress is going to talk about the shit on her fucking little, her little, what is that, pirate radio show?
Yes.
God damn it. We're not, our program's not that big.
It's not that big.
It's a little show. Like, when I look and I'm like, ooh, we got 2,000 downloads today. With gee willikers. Well, good, golly gee gosh darn.
Mm-hmm.
2,000. Got like 50 streams. No one streams. That's something I think about when I look at the fucking stats.
Yeah.
Like, we appeal to people on some popular shit. Because, you know, like, iPhone is, like, some more expensive shit. And I look, and most of our shit is downloaded, so folks are not using their data streaming it. They're probably at home on the Wi-Fi or somewhere with Wi-Fi and download it and then play the archive on, right directly from their device.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, almost always Android. And it's something interesting. I want to tell folks this. Like, if you want to start your own program, people are worried about how you promote your show. Make your titles and live up to your titles.
Yes.
All right. Like how after we take this next break, we're going to cover the story that has for this title, cops playing the Orange is the New Black game.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We'll take a break and then we'll do that. But if you're starting your own podcast, do hardcore titles, because the difference between clickbait and just a hardcore fucking title is that you actually deliver on that title. All right. And then what happens is most of the fucking downloads come from people using search engines to find the program. Obviously, mostly GoOgle is the one they usually go with.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's what that actually spells. GoOgle.
Really? Why?
Yeah, you thought it was Google this whole time. Yeah, they're literally monetizing ogling, and they made it very blatant. It's kind of like how that water spelled backward is naive.
Evian.
Yeah. All right, so sip some naive and go ogle and find an episode of The Wine Cellar. All right, so in this break, we have audio from MJ Rodriguez. I almost said Gutierrez. From MJ Rodriguez, who was a an acting person in the television program called Pose, which I think is a very, very smart show. That's the word I'm going with. It's smart.
Okay.
That is a smart fucking show. All right, so let's dig into it, and then we'll come back, and good cops, hashtag good cops.
Yes.
I mean, Jesus was a white man, too, but, you know, it's like, he was a historical figure. I mean, that's a verifiable fact, as is Santa. I just want the kids watching to know that.
Yes.
But my point is, how do you just revise it, you know, in the middle of the legacy of the story and change Santa from white to black? Yeah.
William said he won't attend my wedding unless I crip walk into my reception.
We might as well hop out the pulpit and let the choir preach it. Your argument would have teeth if you would quit fighting Phoenix. Try to beef in, we can leave them slayed. Three languages, English, tea, and shade. Wine cellar to the bone gristle. We throw missiles on the warpath to make his soul sizzle. And I attack him with the fat flow. I make it dance like Hillary to get the black vote. I'm a super predator about the heel top, so I ain't paying attention until she does the crip walk. She can study it on Lokestapedia. For now I gotta deal with the social media. Different day but the same turd. Corny motherfuckers wanna drag a nigga like James Byrd. With your clickbait schemes and plans. With niggas like you, who needs the Klan?
Something about you is seeming fake.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages,
English. It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
Gender is a social construct, but so is race. And that still doesn't make it okay for white women to play Asian women. Still doesn't make it okay for cis people to play trans people. It's not like you're doing us a favor because you're flicking your nose, essentially, at an entire demographic of people who are telling you we are not okay with this. And we're more than capable of not only telling our own stories, but telling stories in general.
If this is a way to challenge yourself as an actor, then I think you should let us challenge and play some cis roles. We've been asking for it for a very long time. It's something that we have always been able to do because we understand the experience of a woman. I've played cis roles before, you know, but I haven't played that many. I've wanted to play more, and I haven't played them to a demographic that is higher up, or to a demographic that is widespread. I haven't gotten a chance to do that. And if someone can do that and play our roles, then I think it should be allotted to us to play the roles that we know we're more comfortable with as well.
I mean, what is a cis role? You know what I mean? Like, what we are conceptualizing as cis roles is, like, just somebody playing a role and telling a story that has nothing to do with their gender being dissected. I think we just want to, like, tell stories that aren't always specifically about our experience as trans people. We want to tell stories that really investigate what it is to be a human being and have those human experiences with love, with family. But Pose is different in that it investigates it through, like, the gaze of our experience and, like, also family and love and what that is for us because of the way cis people influence it.
And Lisa Loco is getting out there with StarMetalGames.com. All right, several games, the Blacksmith. And these are downloadable video games for your smart device, Apple or Android. StarMetalGames.com with Lisa Loco, fully launching December 2018.
WordPress.com.
Now all these new school kids on the digital stage, you're pantering the circle cause you're sitting afraid. You don't say what you really think all of the time. You pay attention to the trend and you follow the line. Now you can't even tell that you're rolling with busters. Don't go with the crowd, homie, go with the justice. Keep it consistent, even when it gets a little backlash, even resistance. Popularity responds to gravity. What goes up comes down quite rapidly. So don't be popular, don't be fashionable, just be honest, cause that's admirable. Now I have to go, right about the dough.
But just one more thing that you should know. Despite Occam's razor, I kinda like people, even when I have to tell them that I'm trilingual.
Something about you is seeming fake.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
Coming at me with your weak brigade.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
And I don't care what your people say.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
So memorize it and repeat the phrase.
I speak three languages, English, tea, and shade.
All right. And taking a look back at the archived chat space, winecellarmedia.com on the Facebooks. Check it the funk out. there's Rachel Loco, who participated in the Name Rhyme deal, posted a link to the Tyra Banks that Phoenix Kalita was talking about. And Jan Loco, reader of books, books of reader, said back in the day, what is it, an amendment two here in Colorado, the equality for LGBT, etc., was, quote, special privileges, end quote. And Hotep Mike said, so legislation to lower jail detention time for everyone, excuse me. And continued saying, people are saying it's racist because white people are added too.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, if white people are doing something, it's racist. Like Robert Greene Ingersoll, when he was drawing all those crowds and talking anti-racism and speaking against the Confederacy. Fucking racist.
Fucking racist. And, like, that's the thing that kills me, though, is just by, like, even though people of color are often, like, the disproportionate targets of things, like, there's always going to be white people who are getting fucked over by white supremacist capitalism. You know what I mean? So it's, like, impossible unless you make it very, like, race-specific, which would still be, I think, almost impossible to enforce, not that it would even fucking pass because reasons. But, like, yeah, we should maybe help them, too. I don't know.
Yeah, well, even with this program, and folks have heard shit that we say on this program, and hell, we do Becky Lives Matter segments.
Yeah.
And the most racist thing happens to us for doing that. The majority of Wine Cellar Media funding comes from cis and trans white women. Yeah.
Very racist.
Fucking racist. What are you gonna do? You're just gonna fucking help keep this show alive and help pay bills around here? Are you shitting me? You know how fucking racist that is?
That's incredible. It's like the most racist thing that I've ever heard of in my life.
To find some The Black podcast?
Yes.
And damn near reparate it?
Yes. It's very racist.
Fucking
but yeah, it's
racist.
Just, it's fucking wild to me. Like, well, but you know, yes, right now people of color need the most help, specifically speaking, when it comes to social programs. But like, but yeah, white people benefit too, so let's not do it. Like, that's fucking wild to me. But, you know, that's the thing, though. I said, like, there's fucking inconsistent, because they'll say that free college is racist, but I've yet to hear one of them say we need to cut food stamps. I ain't heard a nigga say that yet.
Yeah, publicly. They're working on it.
Shit.
Best believe they're working on it.
All right, so what are we doing? Some good cops?
Oh, hashtag good cops, good cops.
Hashtag
good cops. Well, yeah, what they doing? You said they're out there squabbing and scrapping?
I do. I have another one before we get to that, though.
Oh, shit.
Because this just amuses me.
Oh, shit.
Entire North Carolina Police Department suspended after arrest of chief.
That's a funny sentence. It sounds, I know we're kind of overusing this word. It sounds kind of racist. Just because it already sounds goofy, and then it ends with the word chief, and I could just see that sort of like 1950s Warner Brother cartoon drawing
of
an indigenous person.
Yes.
Like fucking 2 feet tall with an 8-foot headdress.
Yep.
Oh, damn near crip walking or buck dancing, whatever it is they got him doing.
Ooh, yeah.
In literal soft shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that sentence invokes images.
However, the police chief was black, so... Again, what? All of them, not just the white male ones. All of them.
Well, if all of them, then it was actually racist.
Then it was actually racist because it was all of them. Southport, North Carolina, an entire department has been put on leave after the arrest of the department's chief and lieutenant. The Southport Police Department's police chief and lieutenant were arrested Thursday for, quote, allegedly moonlighting as truck drivers while officially on the clock at the police department. All police operations in the city were suspended after the arrest, and the whole police force is out on paid leave. SPD Chief Gary Smith, 46, and Michael Christian Simmons, 48, face charges of conspiracy to obtain property by false pretenses, willful failure to discharge duties, and obstruction of justice. Smith and Simmons are accused of driving overnight shifts for a trucking company while on the clock at the Southport Police Department. The name of the trucking company has not been released. The allegations state that the trucking jobs took the two high-ranking officers out of the city and occasionally out of the county while they were supposed to be on patrol in the city of Southport.
They should have to pay back every motherfuck penny.
Yes.
But, because the thing, they stole from the people.
Right.
Like, they stole from the fucking local people that live in that jurisdiction.
Mm-hmm.
So fucking, they should have to pay it back, but in person, in hand, in cash. Every motherfuck penny. And yeah. You know what? And if they don't have the cash on hand because they weren't responsible with their money dollars, I'm going to speak the language of the oppressor here. And then community servicing.
Community service, yeah.
Because actually, when I go back to Habitat for Humanity, those couches are heavy. All right. And Habitat for Humanity, they take jail niggas and prison niggas for community service. Go over there, serve some shit.
Yep.
Or you could fucking play good cop. Go play basketball with the Negro kids. We know they like doing that.
Good, they love ops. That. Oh, they're doing, did you see the hot dog one?
Hot dogs?
Someone called the cops on a kid because he was selling hot dogs without a permit. So the police all got together and like six cops paid like the $85 fee for a permit and then became his first customers. Like, shut the fuck up.
Really?
Yeah.
Or they could have just fucking told that citizen to
mind your fucking business.
Yeah, you know, and do a bad British accent. I don't care. Tell them piss off. However they talk over
there. Mind your business, lady.
Or, like, if DMX was a very old Italian woman, yes. How's that sound?
Thing? Yes. Cops, good cops, good cops, good cops.
Better cops. We're the better cops.
The better cops are in El Paso County.
That sound, that in Texas.
Colorado.
Shitting me. All right, let's party.
So, El Paso, Colorado. Use of violent force. This is from the ACLU, so it's a little editorialized, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Use of violent force is never something to celebrate. Anytime a law enforcement officer legitimately uses force or violence against people in the communities they serve, it is at best an unfortunate part of the job that should be kept to a minimum amount necessary to control a situation.
The fuck?
Yeah, okay, we get it. We fucking get it. Yet, in the El Paso County Jail in Colorado, Sheriff's Deputy Sandra Rincon was celebrated with a tiara, a princess plate, and a cake with the number 50 on top. The number, however, wasn't her age. It was referred to the number of times she had used force against prisoners, ranging from handcuffing to punching and kicking. She was the winner of what the county jailers called their fight club, crowning whoever used the most force, whoever used force most often as the champion. So she won the fight club because she fucked the most niggas up. Good cops.
Nah, but then the Electoral College took it away from her.
That's funny.
We have fun over here.
We do have fun over here. The Fight Club competition was uncovered in the course of a lawsuit filed by civil rights attorney Daryl Kilmer, who charged the sheriff's deputies with using excessive force against his client, Philippa McCulley. Now, her name is Philippa McCulley.
Is it Felipe?
No, it's Philippa.
No shit. Yeah. I've never heard that name before.
Really?
Shit, no.
Oh.
What part of the planet is that name from?
It's
what
like language? Greek or something.
Oh, they're all right. Them niggas is getting greasy.
So, just based on the fact that her name is Philippa McCulley, I'm hoping in my heart of hearts that this is a white woman, so this actually fucking goes somewhere. You know. But the deputies, according to McCulley, knocked her legs out from under her and shoved her to the floor so hard she fractured her knee, tore her ACL, and bruised across her entire leg. How the fuck hard do you have to throw someone on the ground to break their goddamn knee, bitch? Their knee!
I'm a severely clumsy person. I haven't broken mine. You fell, like, almost off the porch some weeks ago.
I did. Break my knee, though.
Your fucking knee isn't broken.
Not broken. And tore her ACL? The fuck, man?
I don't even know what that is.
That is, like, something a lot of athletes end up tearing is a ligament, like, in your leg. And that you have to get, like, fucking surgery. And they gotta, like, reconnect your shit. And you have to, like, wear a fucking leg brace for, like, 3 months to go to, like, physical therapy and shit. Like, it's a fucking injury for that ass to tear your ACL.
They beat you into being a retired athlete.
Yes.
That's a lot of life lived in one ass whooping.
There was a lot happening in this beating, man. And, like, honestly, like, this is gonna sound fucked up, but it's lucky that they were aiming at her legs and not anything higher, because hitting her that hard to break fucking kneecaps and tear ligaments, like, that shit would have fucking killed her from internal bleeding if they would have been aiming at her chest. You know? Like, let's just be real.
Jesus fucking fucking animals.
Yeah.
What else happened?
So, after the Fight Club competition was revealed, the county settled with McCulley for $675,000. Get your paper. I feel like you could have held out for more after this one. The uncovering of the Fight Club led to an investigation, but the investigation fell short of being genuine. No fucking kidding. That's what happens when they investigate themselves. The investigation largely minimized the culture of violence that led to the Fight Club coming to be in the first place. There were written reprimands, but no demotions, no transfers, and no docked pay for anyone involved. And there was no other disciplinary action. So, basically, ain't shit happened to none of these niggas. Alright. The competition was dismissed as, quote, bad judgment, and the county denied that it resulted in increased use of force, even though the... Y'all aren't even trying.
What?
The county said that this Fight Club did not result in increased use of force, even though incident reports of use of force doubled during the 2 years of the competition. Also, the shit was in place for 2 years.
You see, that's the problem, though, because, I mean, that information came from the report.
Yeah.
Okay, Russia hacked the report. Therefore, all the facts that were released in the report don't matter because of how it got into the public's hands. Ignore the facts. Look at the fact that Russia hacked it.
Russia hacked it. Well done, Comrade Putin. Well done. Use of force is no joking matter, especially in a time when communities' trust in law enforcement has been eroded by repeated incidents of excessive and even lethal force against unarmed community residents, especially people of color, usually with little to no accountability for officers involved. Excessive force is always wrong, whether the perpetrators are police on the streets or corrections officers in prisons and jails. The county's dismissal of the, quote, Fight Club as simply bad judgment only exacerbates the distrust between the community and law enforcement. Indeed, it may further erode it. Rather than essentially turning a blind eye, the county should use this as an opportunity to revisit the use of force policy, double down on investments in training, and commit to greater accountability. They're not gonna do none of that shit, because they're actually getting paid to fuck people up, and that's how they like it!
That sounds like when fucking, you know, in cisgender relationships... When the man says, I'm gonna do better. That's all that was. Yeah. We were just being men. Which, apparently, you know what? In that context, Hillary won. Really. Because a woman was now just like the men.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got it. It's a good thing that you stayed with her.
Yeah.
You fucking win.
I like the comments, too. The first comment is from Anonymous, who says, jail guards are the most sadistic of the law enforcement collective, total scum of the planet. And the person underneath says, actually, Mr. Uneducated, they're not the scum of the planet. There's a better argument that the inmates are the scum. These officers are scum, yes, but there's no need to overgeneralize an entire population. Nigga, you just said all inmates are scum. I'm saying it's a scum.
The juxtaposition of the first one to the second one sounds like when a certain comedian had a bit talking about what to do if your pony bites, which is a very privileged thing to be looking up, and said, someone said, if they bite, you punch them in the face. And someone else said, oh man, I would never punch my pony in the face. And the next one said, people who don't punch their ponies in the face make me sick. And the That's the World Wide Webernets, as I understand it to be, since maybe about like 2003 to me.
Yeah.
Before then, I had a lot of pretty good conversations, met folks in real life, off the internet. Now, shit is weird.
Yeah.
Like, everybody talks to you like they are very sure they can kick the shit out of you.
Like, they're very sure they can keep... And also, like, thinking that you wanted them there. Like, I keep finding this on Twitter. I'm like, you know, nobody actually invited you to this. Other. It's a public place. I can't be here. Like, that...
What if I block you?
Mean you were invited? What the fuck? And then I just wonder, like, are these the type of people that go, like, harass other people on the street? Because, like, well, you're in public. Obviously, you must want me to comment on your outfit.
I think they're the ones that want to. These are the people that admired flashers. They're just like, I wish I could do that. Then the internet existed, and so they downloaded someone else's penis picture and sent it to you.
Ugh, the worst.
There you have it. There you have it. Hey.
Hey.
Little populist moment before we get the frack out of here. Why do we compare it? Some folks might not have seen the Orange is the New Black. In the season 6 of Orange is the New Black, where Tasty gets found guilty, Piper goes home, of course. The one that they portray as ugly, I don't know if she's Puerto Rican or what, Dominican?
I thought she was Dominican.
Okay, Dominican.
She has to be Dominican with what happened at the end. She can't be Puerto Rican.
Oh, that's right, yeah. Because she ended up in the hands of ICE. What else can I spoil for you? Because people don't like trigger warnings.
The two villains died.
Yeah. Yeah, at the same time. Literally killed each other. Frida is a double snitch. But also, I think that goes in with just her survivalism.
Double snitch?
Oh, yeah, she snitched twice.
Who else did she snitch on?
Red.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, Frida's just a underbus thrower. If I remember right, I binge watched that pretty fast with a lot of Wisco. All right, so that's what we're comparing to, because they were playing a game like that on the Orange is the New Black program for season 6. They had like inmate fights and things like inmate attempted suicide and shit like that, were certain numbers of points.
Yeah.
So stuff like that, they were playing their little funky ass game. So that's why I titled it like Zoot. Yes, ma'am.
Before you get to your thing, can I just... In case you didn't know, Canada's using Ancestry DNA websites to help people get deported. So maybe stop fucking using that bullshit.
Yep, don't do it. You just... You know what? Fuck your ancestry.
Yeah.
Britain ruined it anyway. What, yeah. The British, mm-hmm. the Dutch, and Spain ruined everybody's ancestry. And before that, Genghis Khan.
Yeah. Right. So basically what they're doing, the Canada Border Services Agency is collecting DNA from Ancestry.com and using the websites to contact distant relatives to determine nationality of migrants in Canada. So basically if someone in your family uses it and they're like, oh, but your family's from Haiti, and on your paperwork you say you're from the Dominican Republic, you're getting fucking deported. Like that kind of shit. Yeah. And they're doing it right now with a guy who says he's Liberian, but someone who uses Ancestry.com who's like a distant cousin is Nigerian, or they're like, no, you're from Nigeria, you lied on your paperwork, you need to go back to Africa.
Yeah,
like, quite literally, go back to Africa.
Like, you don't need to know. Like, I don't need to know. I like assuming what I assume based on my melanin. I don't want to take that shit and find out I'm fucking 12% Dutch. I don't need to know that. don't fuck with what I like. If you're 8% Roman, you're 8%, go fuck yourself. All right, how about that? 8% of that for 10 minutes with a fucking screwdriver with fucking Velcro wrapped around it. Go fuck yourself. All right, excuse.
Yes.
All right, so a program called The Majority Report was being hosted by Michael Brooks. And Michael Brooks had... Mr. Top Hat and Monocle himself, Benjamin P. Dixon, on. And of course, they're not punching down, they're punching left. All right?
Because there's a difference, apparently.
To who Michael calls the dum-dum left.
Uh-huh.
All right? and Benjamin Dixon, first off, he's inherently condescending, because he's one of those academics that... I don't think he can't get out of it. He won't get out of it. He prefers to talk that way.
Yeah.
because it kind of makes his shit inaccessible.
Well, yeah, it's like a good moneymaker, right? Because then you come off as always being like the authority when you use certain language, you know.
And you appeal to like certain sects of white people. And, you know, let's just be realistic. If you're trying to sell something, who systemically has more money?
Right.
Oh, Benjamin Dixon knows who he's selling to. He knew what he was doing when he put on that fucking Carlton Banks-ass sweater and took that picture for his show. All right? That nigga knew what the fuck he was doing with the purple sweater.
It is a Carlton Banks sweater.
Yeah, let's not be silly. All right? So he's riffing on there, and he's talking, and I'm letting the program, because I didn't know he was going to be on it. I just wanted to hear Michael Brooks, and then he came on, and I'm like, fuck it, I'm already playing it. I'm doing chores. Let it play. And a moment happened toward the end of the 41st minute that was like, oh, he almost lost his way.
Capitalism as a true way of getting class solidarity, international class solidarity, right? And yep. So it's important that we have these conversations, because it's never going to happen on mainstream media. I don't know in our lifetime if it will ever happen on television or in the mainstream news. But it's so critical because the sleight of hand is so insidious. Donald Trump,
God, he's so fucking serious.
He is.
He's really into this. All right. But here it comes. And remember, he's saying Donald Trump has mastered talking about populism somehow. I don't think Donald Trump mastered talking about populism. I think Donald Trump he's a fluke.
I think it's like generic when you just let white people think they're getting things. It sounds like populism because they're used to always getting things.
Mastered it? I don't even think he meant to master it. But
he said the same thing I said. All right, here we go.
He understood that if he could communicate in the language of populism, in the tone of populism, he can actually exacerbate the problem of the people.
Oh, you caught that? He could actually exacerbate the problem of the of the people. My man almost said proletariat, caught himself, said, ooh, don't want to sound like a Bernie-gressive. Whoopsie days. I mean the people.
The people.
Because when you say the people, you remove the fact that they have to bust their asses at work, which is why they're the proletariat, because their fucking feet hurt.
Well, it's also like when you say the people, that's just like, that could be meaning any nigga with a job. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's rich niggas that have jobs too. They're not the fucking people.
No.
Okay? Like, that's not who's the topic ahead. It's the proletariat. That is
news. But it's so critical because the sleight of hand is so insidious. Donald Trump mastered it. I don't even think he meant to master it. But he understood that if he could communicate in the language of populism, in the tone of populism, he can actually exacerbate the problem of the people.
and I mean, I'm sure I'm not the only human being out there that caught that. But I wouldn't doubt that I'm one of few.
Yeah.
Like, of the prola of the people. Like, hey, whoa, Mr. Sir, are we running from words like proletariat now? Are we scared?
Yes.
Are we afraid? You don't want to be called a Marxifier?
Socialism is racist because it helps white people too.
Oh, man. Taking a look at the archived chat space, Hotep Mike set up. Said, but black people are the most targeted by enforcement anyway. Back with my chips. This nigga
eating chips and salsa. Yeah, when you went on break, he went on break too.
That's that shit. Didn't Michael Wright say he was doing that when
yes.
we first started doing video? He's like, ooh, yes. The wine show's on. Gotta get my snacks.
Oh, damn. Jan said El Paso County is home of Focus on the Family.
No shit. And 69% white, ironically. 69, just ironically, let's keep in mind, that is not just fornication. 69
is sodomy.
Yes, ma'am. So, if any of you consenting cisgender, heterosexified adults, in the name of Jesus, if you get to putting your lips on her lips, do you know what I mean, Sister Phoenix?
Yes. That's sodomy. That is immoral. You can't do that. So, yeah.
And Mr. Sir.
Yes.
Mr. Cisgender heterosexual man. Ha! If you consent and she consents, to put her mouth down to where she gives you a trouser kiss. You are a sodomite, sir. Get the fuck out of my church. That's why this program started as Father Teresa's Wine Cellar.
Because it's anti-blowjobs?
Yeah. Those are horrible. Why do you think we had to fucking go after these sex workers?
Yeah, because blowjobs are bad. Can't help people who give blowjobs.
You ever see... go on the internet. Look at one of these clips of one of these guys getting blown. They're always like, oh my God. Oh, like, that's the sound of pain. Oh, their eyes are closed. They're squinting.
They're not enjoying themselves. That's what's happening when...
Okay. Do they look like they're having... Just put the camera... Like, let's edit out the woman and whatever's happening, whatever crime she's committing to this feller, and just look at his face and shoulder movements. Uh-huh. That is called squirming.
Yeah.
That's when you're trying to get away from a powerful foe that has you in some sort of clutches, if you will. All right? Evil sex workers.
Evil sex workers.
Bad. Julie Bindle's trying to help you.
Yeah, Julie Bindle's trying to help. You know, I saw that argument again today, too, that incel should just go to sex workers. Let's not do that.
Is that an argument or is that a bad idea that somebody thought would get retweeted?
I think that they don't... I would like to think people don't understand the implications of what they're saying, but I cannot guarantee that. Like, maybe they don't know that incels actually really hate sex workers, and they have this obsession with, like, very young, perfectly in shape, conventionally attractive virgins, and so they would never be with a sex worker anyway. But then even if they were, that they're incredibly violent and promote misogyny, and that it's not because they have blue balls. Like, having sex is not going to stop the misogyny. The reason that they want sex is because they feel it's, like, they're entitled to it, you know, not because, like, oh, I just have all this pent-up sperm if I just get it out. Like, oh, it's gonna be fine. You know, it's like, that's not what's happening. They're actually bad people. So, no, don't tell sex workers to deal with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's somebody on, what the fuck? I think it was Jimmy Dore's program, like, a guest host. Like, just, like, throwaway line, threw that out there, like, as a solution for cats like Bill O'Reilly. No, Mr. Sir.
No.
Yeah, like, the guy who fucking, dragged his spouse down the stairs in front of the kids. Yeah, put him behind closed doors with someone that doesn't have rights.
Yeah.
These are the, let's think it through and say the blunt words. Talk like me. If you talk like me, you'll realize how horrible everything is. Always frame things in the worst possible way. And then you can try to get away from it. But the way I just said that, was any of it inaccurate? Let's say it again. Take the guy who dragged his spouse down the stairs in front of his kids, and you want to put him behind closed doors with someone who doesn't have rights. Yes, that is the worst possible framing. Also, 150,000% accurate. Fact-based facts.
True.
WineCellarMedia.com. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. And Jan Loco, reader of books. Last comment in the archive chat space. Lots of military retirees talking about El Paso County.
Yes.
All right. And that'll be that. Facebook Live, have a good one. And end Facebook Live. And let's end archive podcast audio recording. Mm-hmm. You fuckers. Oh, Jesus Christ. Damn near 90 minutes of programming.
You said you want to start doing longer shows.
Yeah. Give a nigga a dollar for that. Yeah, because we're doing this one Monday. We don't plan on coming back until Wednesday. So Tuesday is just extra show prep time where I can actually, like, work on making these breaks and commercials and really flesh out a funky program, Father Muckers, and enjoy my furniture. I'd like to sit in my chair, but I'm sure the cats have occupied it. Fucking protest cats.
The real Occupy movement.
God damn it.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
It's Moral Monday, and you're in the wine cellar.
When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me. When we're not on the show, Father Teresa yells at me.
Oh, cool. I love stupid bullshit like this.
This show is fucked up.
Free thought. Conversation.